You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
This is MLB.com Extras, Chicago White Sox edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, joined by Scott Merkin, talking about a White Sox team that's got some work to do this offseason and probably has a little financial wiggle room to do it, which is a good thing. Merk, we talked about this, the second half evolved, and now the point to me is hammered home all the more when we see what happened to the Tigers in the playoffs and just kind of look at their payroll structure. And the Royals made that deep run to the World Series, and there's always wear and tear that comes with that, especially for a team that's so reliant on those back-end bullpen arms. But the point I'm getting to is that there could be a window of opportunity here for teams like the White Sox and the Indians, who are more of the middle of the road in the Central last season. For the White Sox to bridge that gap, what needs to happen here?
Well, I think the first thing they have to do is, while you're right on all your points, and Detroit and Kansas City and everything else in that division, is just kind of focus on themselves and, not really worry. I mean, keep the other teams, like you said, in perspective and know that, there's not a dominant team that's going to win 102, 103 games and you're basically playing for the wild card. But, just kind of focus on what you need to improve. And I think, obviously, the first area, and you pointed up with the Royals in the postseason, and you can look at Baltimore, too, is bullpen. You got to have that, not necessarily lockdown bullpen, but you need to have the pieces to kind of shorten the game from time to time. And the thing is, I think Sox fans are looking at a closer. I just don't see, that's just not the Sox MO. I don't see them going out and, going 4 years, $48 million for a pure ninth inning guy. Rick Hahn's talked at the end of the season, as a matter of fact, and before that, about how, it'd be great to have a regular closer. They had one in Addison Reed, who they, they traded away. They had one in Bobby Jenks. But he's not, set on only having one and that's it as a closer. It's good to have some flexibility. So I would see the Sox, and these are just names to throw out there, but going after a guy like, more like a guy like Luke Gregerson or Zach Duke or Pat Neshek, again, just ideas that would fit. Guys who certainly could pitch the ninth without a problem, but also can pitch. And a lot of times it's just as important, if not more important, that sixth, seventh, and eighth inning, which you saw with Herrera and you saw with Wade Davis leading up to Greg Holland with Kansas City as an example. You got some young guys there, too, with the Sox that pitched pretty well last year, Patricia and Putnam and Webb. Chris Bassett looked good in the AFL before he was shut down. So there's some options. But bullpen is number one. And you probably need a left-handed bat. You need some sort of bat, preferably left-handed, to kind of protect Abreu and Avi Garcia, or just kind of fit in the middle with them there. So I would think those are the two categories. And then you'd like probably one more starting pitcher. Right now you have Sale, Quintana, Danks, and then maybe Noesi is number five. Carlos Rodon is right there. He may not be breaking camp with the team, but I would guess it's going to be really shortly thereafter that he's going to be, taking his turn every 5 days for the White Sox. So you're probably looking for a right-handed starter, and not necessarily Max Scherzer or someone who's going to command top dollar, but someone who kind of fits, the ballpark and fits the rotation. I think that's the thing to describe with the Sox is best fit. It's not about cutting dollars, but it's not all about the dollars. Last year, they were more than willing, after they had kind of come close to budget, to go after Tanaka from Japan, and they bid, I think, around $100 million over 5 years because they felt he fit, because they felt it was something that fit the profile of the team. So that's the biggest thing, is the guys have to fit in what the White Sox are doing.
Well, they can make some things fit. Paul Konerko's retirement, Matt Lindstrom, and Adam Dunn removing those salaries from the picture. I believe they have around $45, $46 million in commitments for next season before they get into, I think they have six arbitration cases. Is that right, Mark?
Six, yeah. So, so it's going to probably be somewhere around, if the budget, let's just go by the fact that the budget was not around $90 million last year, and let's say it's somewhere within that range, maybe a little higher or a little lower, you're still looking probably, $30 million that you can spend during this. If you go to the budget limit in the off season, you have about $30 million to spend then.
Yeah, I remember on a previous podcast, Merk, I gave you about $30 million to spend. I think you spent about $55.
I did. And then,
it was like when Eagles tickets go on sale and you just kind of lose your mind for a minute. But as far as that bat, you mentioned the bat. Victor Martinez is a guy who they'll be linked to and have been linked to. He's a switch hitter, obviously. Going to be crazy expensive for a guy in his mid-30s. Right. There's actually a pretty deep, class of guys in that sort of DH role if the White Sox do decide to go that route. Kendry Morales, another switch hitter who's
31 years old and, you know, has shown power in the past. Maybe he's more of a buy low candidate. Any other names come to mind for you?
Well, see, here's the thing. I think one of the X factors on this team and is because they really still, after, you know, after a number of years, don't know what they have completely in him is Vesiedo. I would imagine unless they trade him, they're going to tender him a contract. And I don't think they prefer to have him as their – I know they don't want him as their – you know, he's worked hard and tried to make himself a respectable left fielder, but there are better outfielders than Dion Vesiedo, obviously. So, you know, you could go after a DH, and they want a guy who's not just going to be a pure DH. They want a guy like, you know, Victor, who can go to first base a little bit. He probably could catch a game or two if you had to have him do that. But as an example, you know, so you could look at a guy like Kobe Rasmus, who could play – yeah, I know he's played center almost his entire career, but, you know, that's he had a meeting spot. So if he went to the Sox, it would be more of a corner outfield left or right. And then he used Vesiedo more as DH. So, you know, they're looking for something along those lines, I think. Even a guy like, and I know there's going to be a huge market for him too, Nelson Cruz, who's a right-handed hitter, would be a great fit in that ballpark. And he could play left field, and you could have Vesiedo DH, and you can kind of, you know, rotate the guys in and out. So, again, I think they're looking lefty first. Martinez is an interesting case because we talked to Aviciel Garcia at the end of the year, and he had said that Victor had told him he really likes Chicago. You know, he likes the organization. He likes the city. He's good friends with Garcia. He knows Garcia would be a good fit there. But, boy, I don't know about you, Anthony, but I find it hard to believe Detroit's just going to, you know, I think Detroit's going to really battle, for lack of a better word, anyone who's interested in him to keep him in as part of that roster.
Yeah, I don't see Victor moving on from Detroit ultimately. I've seen the White Sox I mean, this happens all the time this time of year. Just about every team is linked just about just every player. But I saw the name Pablo Sandoval thrown around, just him being such a hot commodity come off the World Series. Obviously, they're, you know, Connor Gillespie had a really nice season for them at third base. They got Matt Davidson in the system. But there's one of the bigger name bats available ultimately. I don't know. You don't see that happening, do you, Merck?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think there would be some interest there just because of who he is and what he brings to the table. You know, switch hitter, very solid defensive third baseman. The thing is, I've heard this talk, you know, to be true, and he seems to be a good athlete, whatever size he's at. You know, I know he's kind of fluctuated over the years, but people, you know, the talk you seem to hear going into the offseason is that eventually this is a guy who may end up over on the other side of the diamond or as a DH. Well, they're pretty well set on the other side of the diamond in Abreu. So I think it comes down to, you know, they're not a team that a lot of times will set the market, but they will get in there and be competitive as soon as it gets going, you know. So I think that could be a case where if they sense some serious interest and sense that it'll fit, they may go after him, but I don't think he's a priority for them. And nothing against Sandoval, I just think they have other areas they want to go to before they explore third base. And, you know, again, I don't know if Connor Gillespie or Matt Davidson are the answers. They have another third baseman in the system who's a little ways away. He's a draft pick, Trey Miyashevsky. I got that name pronounced right, actually. And, you know, so they have some options there. But obviously Sandoval would be a gold standard, a guy who's won some World Series and played great in the postseason, good clubhouse guy. So, yeah, it's an interesting name, but, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of people interested in Sandoval. So that's just a question of how high and how many years you want to go for him. And, again, you go back to, are the Giants actually going to let him go, which I find that hard to believe, too.
Yeah. Well, here's another thing that I'm intrigued by with the White Sox that I don't expect to happen, but you never know. Alexi Ramirez at short. They need him. They've got kind of this glut of second basemen. I don't know if they feel comfortable moving any of those guys to short. Talk about Micah Johnson, Marcus Semien, Carlos Sanchez. At shortstop, they're not nearly as well stocked, but man, Alexi would be extremely valuable as a trade chip right now, especially when you think about a certain New York team that's looking for a shortstop. A lot of people are looking for productive shortstops. They're in very short supply. But the White Sox need him as well, entering his last year before free agency. So do you suspect any real movement or any real activity on that front?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you bring that up. I wrote this earlier in the offseason, and I think he's a benefit to them in multiple ways, because if you keep him, you got a guy who's a leader, who's been there since 08. You know, he knows the clubhouse. He's a good leader among the Hispanic players in there. And, you know, he just fits over. He's a great player. He's a really solid shortstop. You know, I don't know if he's going to hit MVP status, but this is a guy who you know what you're going to get almost every year from. You know, 280 to 300. 15 to 20, you know, maybe a little bit lower in the home runs, but the stolen bases have gone up, 25, 30 stolen bases, 60 to 80 RBIs, and solid defense, you know, as a finalist in the Gold Glove in short. But as you just mentioned, he's also probably their number one, unless they explore trading Quintana, which I don't see happening. He's probably their number one trade commodity. So, you know, I think what you do there is you probably set the price extraordinarily high, and if someone comes in and can meet that, then you either, you know, you move him and get what you can and go look for another shortstop, or you go for a year, you know, and try and figure out what you can do for this season. You know, another guy that's been mentioned is Tyler Saladino had a good season in the minors for Charlotte, and he had his season was ended a little early by Tommy John surgery, but they're expecting him to be healthy at the start of spring training 15, so I could see him being in the mix. But as of right now, I would think Alexi Ramirez come opening day in early April will be the White Sox shortstop. But again, you make a good point, especially because he can also play second base. He's played second base very well in his early on in his career for the White Sox, so yeah, he gives you that kind of flexibility. And, you know, he's their number one trade chip. So, like I said, he benefits them on the field. He benefits them in kind of the open market as well.
We mentioned the glut at second base. They have a similar glut from the left-handed starting standpoint once Carlos Rodon joins the mix. But you've said this, I think we've said this on this podcast even, that John Danks is probably not going anywhere with all that money remaining on his contract.
Yeah, you know, I think John Danks sometimes gets a bad rap because you hear people mention he's a trade candidate, but oh, no one's going to take that salary. Well, I mean, you know, he is, I think it's $28 million over the next 2 years. But I think he's kind of learning himself as a pitcher a little, you know, the more and more he gets removed from that surgery he had a couple of years ago, the season-ending arthroscopic, you know, shoulder surgery. He's basically had almost two full seasons now behind that surgery. And, you know, he was never Randy Johnson. He was never 99, you know, 97 consistently. But he was, you know, 91, 93. And he's now more, you know, the comparison pitching coach Don Cooper has made is he's more like Mark Burley. He's, you know, more about location and using the changeup and, you know, throwing strikes and just, you know, keeping hitters off balance while throwing, you know, maybe 88, 89, maybe 90 if he, you know, gets on a roll there. And I think, you know, you saw him in the second half of the season. He's a tireless worker. He makes a lot of adjustments. And he's another one who's, you know, I think he's the most, with Canerco gone, he's the most seasoned veteran on that team now. And can be a key. But the Sox are not just going to give him away, and I don't see them throwing in, you know, a lot of money if they did trade him. So I think they value what they have in him, and he's, you know, a good influence on that rotation with Sale and Quintana. And, you know, they have no problem with having five lefties, let alone four when Rodon comes up. They just want good pitchers. So, yeah, I don't expect John Danks to be traded. I don't even see, you know, a contract for a contract type of thing. I think, you know, unless it's a deal they really want, John Danks is going to be part of their rotation.
All right, so right-handed starter, left-handed bat, new-look bullpen, and then just start printing those Central Championship t-shirts, right?
To go that, I got to bring it down to about 30, 32 million. I'm still probably around 40 right now. But
we're a big spender, Merck. You know, we don't have your wad of cash laying around. We gotta be a little more frugal for the White Sox. So, I want to thank Scott Merkin for joining us. I want to thank you all for tuning in. It's been MLB.com Extra, Chicago White Sox edition.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, t-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.